Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 18th November 2021. It's a Thursday class. We will be continuing our sharing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning, Teachings from the Adapted Verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. We are at page 484. Okay, as usual, we'll be having our half an hour of awareness-based meditation first. We'll all the light, then you can proceed with your awareness-based meditation. Just relax body and mind. Then after that, maintain awareness for as long as you can. Then silence your mind completely. Don't try to know and don't try to do anything. The first three support for awareness-based meditation is very important. It's very easy also. First support is relax completely, body and mind. Just let things be at ease. Don't do anything. Whatever arises, just maintain awareness. Finish. The second support, maintaining awareness, is not to think. Whatever happened, just away. When thought arise, away. Feeling arise, away. Perception arise, away. Sankara, movement, activity arise, away. Then your senses pick up anything upon contact. You become conscious, away. When you are just away, you don't think. Then you maintain the awareness until it stabilizes. If you can do that for a while, then the mind will settle down. Whatever mental hindrance that you have not rooted out or managed to root out or clear because of your lack of spiritual faculty stability, you can root it out. You can actually cause the whole activity of mind to slow down by just following the first three support. When you relax, you don't think, you let things be. When you maintain awareness, you also don't think. Then third support is to allow this awareness to stabilize. Please maintain the awareness for as long as you can until the mundane mind or the thinking mind slow down, and finally cease. Then you will be able to have that clarity of mind, the silent mind. That is your true mind. Without thought, the awareness nature will be the final product. Means your mind has returned to its original state before the thinking arises, before sankhara activity arises, before the mind develops perception activity. So all this, as you go through the training, you will develop more and more understanding. So the main purpose is to develop awareness within. The awareness within is your true mind, your silent mind. And that one has got no thought. That's why when you can realize that mind, you will become different. You will become heedful, aware, with clarity, without any mind movement. There's no duality, no mental states, no thought movement, no activity, it's just aware. And that is your true mind, which is also your meditative mind. So use that silent mind, your true mind and your meditative mind to develop the understanding. Meditation is just to observe silently without thought. to be aware of the moment, so that you can see things as they are. You can insight into phenomena and awaken. Then through this observation, you will come to understand clearly, who are you? What are you? Leading to self-knowledge. Then you will have a clear understanding of what that mundane mind is, what that form and mind is, then how we function as a human being. Then you can see clearly everything that arises. There are causes and conditions behind. Then you can see, like what the Buddha explained, the whole world is a phenomenal world of consciousness. They are all dependent, originating, conditioned, arising, cause of phenomena, not a permanent unchanging entity that you can cling onto, hold onto, grasp onto, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. So under this awareness-based meditation, we develop the training of the mind to be aware, to undertake the observation, the development of wisdom and understanding. So this is basically a short summary of what you need to know. Then after you have developed the stability of this awareness nature, then you can go into the proper meditation, means how to actually make use of the awareness nature to meditate, to observe, to insight into phenomena, to awaken, to develop wisdom and understanding. So all this will arise. Then finally, the fourth support for those who have already done it, stabilized awareness nature, and has become quite conversant with this awareness-based meditation, then you can develop the fourth support, which is trust. Trust your true nature to do the meditation. Do not interfere with the thought process. Just allow the nature to move, to activate whatever part that it wants to activate. Then the awareness nature will understand, will develop the movement. There will be a lot of changes and transformation within. So during that time, if you can stay at your heart area, initially it's at your meditation object, stay there, because that is the familiar anchor that you can have. Then when you stay there, because of your awareness, the silence within that you have developed, your mind will become very, very fine, very still and very quiet. Then that time, your object of meditation also become very still, very quiet. Yeah. So when that happens, it means your mind is about to enter sati. Then when mind enters sati, everything you do is in sati. And the movement is like magnified. Then when you come out of it, you will understand how your awareness and your activity, they move as one. How your awareness and all your thought process, they move as one. How the specific phenomena awareness arise. How the spacious awareness without a center arise. Everything you will come to understand. So this is the beauty of awareness-based meditation. And through this, you will develop wisdom, panya, awakening. Then delusion can be rooted out. Wrong view can be rooted out. Then you become different. You will become more and more heedful, less and less heedless. Your mind will transform. Your mind will have clarity, tranquility, stillness. It is just aware. He doesn't have to think. Thought is only required when you need to think or when you need to understand certain things, do certain things, contemplate or reflect or share. So all this understanding will come. So I will read from the last paragraph. These sentient beings are ill. We can give them a medicine. If we can use the right principles to guide sentient beings towards the path of truth, then their ailment of ignorance can be gradually treated. Our loving kindness can enfold all sentient beings. Our grace can nurture them. The Buddha established teachings in the world in the hope that all sentient beings can eliminate affliction and live in peace with each other. Therefore, he always protects sentient beings out of great love and guide them to walk the right path without going astray. So this is just the explanation part, but to do it is not that easy, because human being has different needs and different character, priority in life, and most of them are not interested in the Dhamma or the spiritual teaching until they have problem, until for some reason or other they couldn't cope with life, or there is a deep yearning inside, the strong search for such truth. So it depends. But most sentient beings, when they arise in this existential world or conditional world of ours, they are more interested in doing the things that they like. They will be more interested in the aspect of life that give them power, give them wealth, make them famous. So all these are the common way of sentient beings. Seldom you can find someone who is suddenly interested in the spiritual teaching, in the spiritual aspect of life, in looking for truth, looking for Dhamma. So even though you may have the understanding, the awakening, but for you to share, it's not easy. So as stated here in the sutta, is it, our loving kindness can enfold all sentient beings. This is true. When you have metta, you can radiate. So that is just one aspect. Then, of course, our grace can nurture them too. Because you have goodness, you have kindness. They feel happy when it's in front of you or when they are with you. But it depends. If they are of the type that are after their craving and desire, if you are cultivating a spiritual practitioner, they may not be interested in around you or to see you also. So all this depends. Although it's mentioned, our grace can nurture them. These are for people who need, who already have problems or situation in life that they need to overcome. Then the Buddha established teachings in the world in the hope that all sentient beings can eliminate affliction and live in peace with each other. So although this is the main motive, the prime intent, but then not everybody understand that they have affliction. Not everybody understand that peace can be realized. So all this depend on the individual. Most of them, they have their own needs, their own desire, their own craving. So when it comes to living life, they really can be very, very different. So although we may have these teachings very well established, very like well tested and very practical, but not all sentient beings are interested, because to them these are very boring things. They are more interested in the one that can attract their craving, their desire, especially young people. They are more interested in materialistic success, materialistic well-being and possession. So a lot of them strive for financial success, career success, for wealth, for fame and honesty. So normally they don't have time to think of understanding spiritual teaching or truth. This one only happens when they are faced with problem or situation. Sometimes when they are faced with problem, you want to teach them the Dhamma or the truth, they are also not interested. They just want you to solve them. You can be like a doctor and say, okay, prescribe some medicine for me or cure me or do an operation on me or do what you think that can heal me. Apart from that, they are not interested. Then when they recover, they go back to their old way. So to do this work is not easy. Then I read on, maybe we can from here develop more understanding as to how to actually do this work. Therefore, he always protect sentient beings out of great love and guide them to walk the right path without going astray. So this one is all the great beings and cultivators high ideal. Of course, their intent is they want to protect sentient beings out of love and compassion, then guide them to walk the right path without going astray so that they'll have the good life. But not everybody is interested in walking this spiritual path. And that is the biggest problem, stumbling block, or era where civilization progressed very fast, is especially this era of ours. Because there are too many of these things that lure the senses of living beings. The level of sensuality and the availability of this highly sensual type of materialistic life or world make it almost impossible for the younger generation to ignore. Everybody is thinking of making money to have all this, to enjoy their life, to have the good life and all this thing. So this is what happened to the world. So at times I look back, I was thinking why the Buddha came during that period. Because that period, life was more slow. People are more philosophical and more spiritually intent, where there is not much attraction or civilization's advancement to lure them and all this thing. Relatively less. But then the challenge is when you are able to come during this period and yet you can do your work, play your role, play your part as a bodhisattva, fulfilling your vows and your whatever aspiration. All these are possible, not impossible, but it needs a lot of understanding. And the best way to do it is to accord and flow and let causes and conditions arise. Let your nature take its course. Let those that have affinity with your nature come to you. So all this, it will propagate itself, that it will actually spread out, like the understanding goes. From one, it can spread out into many, and this many again spread out to a lot more. In a similar way, it's like our COVID-19 pandemic, how it spread. From one, the ratio is about 3. Then 3 become 9. So, then from there, it's all by the power of 3. Not double or triple, keep on expanding. So all this is what will happen. But spiritual understanding is slightly different, because it's not like COVID-19, very easy to pass on. If spiritual understanding can be passed on like COVID-19, then the whole world will be enlightened. So no need to do anything, just let it spread. But it's different. That's why it's not the case with spiritual teaching. Enlightenment is, of course, a totally different aspect of life. But not many people are interested in spiritual life, leading to so-called enlightenment. Of course, a lot of people is curious about enlightenment. They want to know what is enlightenment. Curiosity doesn't mean they have the interest. You ask them to sacrifice their life, cultivate, develop the understanding and quickening, they say no time. So all this, I'll read on this path of truth. As long as everyone is willing to continuously give their love and pave a smooth path together, we will gradually be seen ascending to the ground of Dhamma cloud. The tenth ground, the ground of Dhamma cloud, is a state where we can reach any place in the universe, unobstructed by any material thing, and benefit both ourselves and others. The principles and teachings of Qingzi are inherently tranquil and still, clear, pure, and undefiled. So these ones refer to our true mind or true nature, which is inherently tranquil, still, with clarity, pure, and undefiled. The principles of Qingzi are the Buddha Dharma. Why do we continually teach the Dhamma? Have we grown in wisdom from listening to the Dhamma every day? Actually, the Dhamma itself is inherently tranquil and still. This is the true Dhamma. It is because we have affliction that we must rely on things like chanting the Buddha's name to calm our mind. That is one method. What about sitting in meditation? We can meditate to eliminate our delusion and purify our mind. So the principle and the Dhamma have always been tranquil and still. Once we return to our pure and undefiled nature, we will be in a tranquil and still state. Thus, we will attain Qingzi, or the state of clarity and stillness. So Qing is stillness. Is clarity. So here, I think the author is trying to explain that when people who don't have the clear understanding, they will depend on certain skillful means to develop the understanding. It's just like what she mentioned. It is because sentient beings have afflictions. that they must rely on things like chanting the Buddha's name to calm their mind. That is to use that skillful means. They say one method. Then they ask, what about sitting in meditation? If you don't know how to sit, you're wasting your time. That part they didn't mention, but it is very clear. So sitting alone without understanding can never give rise to progress. No amount of sitting can make you enlightened or awaken you. It's not how you sit. It's the understanding of meditation. Meditation can be any posture. Sitting is one of the posture. So all this understanding is very important. Then of course she mentioned we can meditate to eliminate our delusion and purify our mind. So this word meditate is a very, very like unexplained word where everybody assume you meditate then you will become enlightened. Just like here is it, you can meditate, you can eliminate your delusion and purify your mind. But what is the meaning of meditation? What is meditation? To develop one, to realize one, is not explained. And what is meditation? How to start? Also, people don't know. Meditate with what? If you meditate with a thought, you are dead. Thought-based meditation. And most people start from the thought. Because to them it's very logical. How to meditate? Teach me. Then to meditate, you must have a mind, which is normally your thinking mind, your mundane mind. Then they will give you instructions to meditate, or methods and technique, or chanting, or whatever skillful means to meditate. But that is not meditation. Those are a series of instructions to do things. They never define what is meditation. To meditate is to realize the true mind. You cannot realize the true mind. You cannot start. You cannot meditate. Because meditation has to be done with understanding. Like Hui Ning say, the first hallmark to meditate is to realize no thought, wu nian. When you are without thought, you are just aware. You are with your true mind. And that is the understanding. So to meditate is to silence everything. To be aware so that you can use the awareness or your silent mind or your true mind to observe, to insight into phenomena. To develop understanding. So all this, if it's not understood, people go astray. So meditation needs to be understood before it can be properly carried out or developed in the correct manner. And a lot of people who don't have that understanding, they are trapped in thought-based meditation, in methods, in technique, in all the various type of series of instruction, developing into skillful means and all these things. So all this, if it's not understood, can lead to downfall. Then people become gullible. People who don't have the understanding, they can be lost in that process of so-called meditation. Because if you continue to use your thought to actively do the meditation, then all this become thought-based meditation. And how can you realize a state of mind that is beyond thought, beyond mind, which is what the Dhamma is all about? That's why if you have paid attention to the Buddha's teaching, the Buddha very clearly defined to us what Dhamma is. And to meditate is to realize the Dhamma, the truth. And what is Dhamma? Under the salutation to the Dhamma, the Buddha says, Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo. Well expounded is the Dhamma by the Buddha. And what are the characteristics of this Dhamma? The Buddha said, this Dhamma is sanditiko, akaliko, ehi paseko, opanaiko, pajetang, veditabo, vinohiti. So if you understand this, you will understand what Dhamma is, and you will not go wrong. What is sanditiko? The Buddha said this Dhamma is sanditiko, means it can be realized in the here and the now. If it's promised to you after death, that is not the true Dhamma. But that Dhamma is not sanditiko. So, Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo, then this Dhamma is sanditiko, akaliko. Akaliko means the Dhamma is timeless, beyond thought, beyond time. If the instrument you use to meditate is thought, then how can you realize a state which is beyond time, beyond thought? That's why you must silence your mind and use the instrument of awareness to be aware, to develop understanding, to realize the Dhamma which is akaliko. Because when you are just aware, there is no thought. There is just that nature, the way. So the awareness nature, without thought, is timeless. Yeah, without thought, there is no thinking. Thinking is psychological time. So when you don't think, that is your true mind. You are in the timeless. You are in the unconditioned. So that is the only instrument that can insight into phenomena and awaken, that can see things as they are and awaken, that can observe silently, choiceless awareness to awaken, to understand the truth. So all this understanding is important. If you are not able to develop it, then you are wasting your time. Then not only that, the Buddha say, this Dhamma is also ehipasiko. Ehipasiko means it is a truth that stand up to investigation. You are welcome to investigate into this Dhamma. It is the truth. It will stand up to investigation. So these are the first three very powerful characteristics. Sanditiko, akaliko, ehipasiko. Then fourth one is opanaiko. This Dhamma lead inward to our true nature. Opanaiko. Then this Dhamma is pachetang, can be realized each by themselves, by the wise. So, pachetang veditatbo vinuhiti. If you have all these five, then it fulfills the Dhamma. If you don't have all these five, then that is not the Dhamma, the truth that the Buddha has taught you. So, this Dhamma is pachetang veditatbo vinuhiti, means it can be realized only by the wise. Each for themselves. Nobody else can understand this truth. That's why unless you awaken, your form and mind will understand. Otherwise, you can't. So this is the reason why it's not easy to develop meditative understanding. It's not easy to teach meditation. You don't have such understanding. Chances are you can't teach. Technically, I mean, you can't teach. You can teach the normal type of meditation, like thought-based and all those things, the method, the technique, the popularly accepted one. Yeah. So all this, we need to develop understanding as cultivator so that we are not gullible, so that we can actually develop the correct understanding of what meditation is, and from there we develop it through an understanding. Okay, we go back. But as we interact with people, if we only focus on accomplishing the task, yet cannot let go of our defiled view of self, then we will still have attachment. This one is obvious. Huh? So we must make great vows and diligently advance. So this is important. Huh? That's why our vows are very important. Without great vows, we cannot be diligent. There is no force driving us, and we cannot advance. We can only make truly great vows if we give without expectation, while maintaining a pure, wide open and empty mind, free of affliction. Only when we are not being selfish or self-centered can we make vows as vast as the universe. Therefore, once we establish our vows, our resolve, we should make the great vow and work diligently to advance in our practice. These are the teachings and principles of Qing Shi. So this is Shi Qi's way. Huh? So they move by developing the resolve to make great vows and to work diligently to advance in their practice. The Shi Qi school of Buddhism is a road of working with people. The aim of our spiritual cultivation is to benefit sentient beings. It was for the sake of sentient beings that the Buddha engaged in spiritual practice and attained enlightenment. After all, he was already enlightened and his mind was already tranquil, clear and undefiled. But because sentient beings suffer so much, he came to the world in order to give or to go among them and transform them. He manifests the appearances of being conceived, being born into the palace, and the rest of the eight aspects to demonstrate the process of attaining perfect enlightenment. This is how he revealed the cause of our spiritual cultivation. We call the Church School of Buddhism a road to working with people with its aim and its cause are realized by going among people. It is among people that we will find infinite Dhamma. This is very true, eh? Infinite Dhamma. We need to expose ourselves to all the wide range of possibility of civilization, life and existence. As we often say, wisdom is gained from experience. Any person can be a living sutra that we can learn from. I always mention the recycling volunteer as example. Some elderly volunteer may be illiterate, but their life are filled with abundance, abundant truths that we can learn from the path we have traveled throughout their lives. From the path they have traveled throughout their lives to the suffering they face and the way in which they give of themselves. These bodhisattvas are source of great wisdom. Even people who are narrow-minded and greedy and who have made many mistakes are also living sutras. We can see the cause and condition that brought about their suffering and the karmic condition that led them to join Shi Qi. This story can be very exciting and stirring. There are others who have enjoyed a life of luxury and were so arrogant that they create a lot of negative karma. There must also have been certain causes and conditions that lead them to Shi Qi. Some people may have experienced tremendous suffering, but their hearts are open and positive, and their nature is to be yielding. and accommodating. Therefore, when they encounter Tzu Chi, they are able to joyfully devote themselves to help others. In addition, those who are elderly and frail are often the most diligent, making good use of each moment and staying active to their last breath. In this way, we can see how everyone is a sutra filled with wonderful teachings. Thus, we say that infinite Dhamma Dao appear in this world. Where can we find infinite Dhamma Dao? Are they in the sutras of infinite meaning? Actually, all the teaching exists in our daily life. So this is true. Life itself is our greatest teacher. Encountering things in the world that awaken our mind is equivalent to chanting the sutra of infinite meaning. We all have a wise and awakened intrinsic nature, and the wisdom of our intrinsic nature is like a great perfect mirror. If we can realize this principle, the great perfect mirror wisdom in our mind will be clear and without distortion or obstruction. So these are very beautiful description of the practice. Because we are still ordinary beings, we inevitably develop afflictions under the influence of external condition. But if we remain steadfast in our spiritual aspiration and keep the mirror of our mind clear, we can use perfect mirror wisdom to clearly illuminate the appearances of all sentient beings in the universe, adapt the teaching according to their capacity, and thus provide great benefit to them. So to do this, you must have the Dhamma, you must have the wisdom, and you must be skillful. This is the wisdom of our intrinsic nature, because sentient beings cannot understand what the Buddha originally wanted to teach us. The Avatamsaka Sutta, he had to devise skillful means to teach and transform everyone according to their capacity. These skills, or these skillful means, include principle of both true emptiness and wondrous existence, to teach us not to be attached to either existence or emptiness. So this is very true. We need to understand both aspects, the condition and the unconditioned. That's like true emptiness and wondrous existence. True emptiness means the unconditioned Dhamma. Wondrous existence means the conditioned Dhamma. So that you are not attached to both the conditioned and unconditioned Dhamma, existence or emptiness. We need to harmoniously integrate true emptiness and wondrous existence. This is very true. That's why I say, I always emphasize, we have to know both the Dhamma of the unconditioned and the conditioned Dhamma. Then we will have great perfect mirror wisdom, which is the wisdom of our intrinsic nature. We have great loving kindness, great compassion, and infinite meanings. Our minds are as tranquil and clear as crystal. So this is true, right? With the wisdom of the infinite meaning, the great loving kindness and compassion, our mind is definitely tranquil and clear. There is clarity, there is tranquility. We remain unwavering and give rise to sincere intention. We must spread this teaching throughout the world. So this is a very important message. Even as we engage in spiritual practice to train our mind, we often give rise to ignorance and become indolent. So these are for people who have not stabilized their understanding. Since we want to be spiritual practitioners, we must motivate ourselves and emulate the saints and sages. We must resolve to learn how to completely eliminate the affliction and defilements of our mind and return to our original pure nature. That's why to return to our original pure nature is to realize our true mind, our true nature. Then our sixth sense organ will no longer fluctuate in response of the sixth sense object, means the phenomenal world of consciousness. The external form will have no more power over us. Indeed, in all of our thoughts and all of our action, we must think good thought, make good vows, and take good care of our mind, and place the place where we engage in spiritual cultivation. Therefore, we must diligently practice the four infinite mind and the six paramita so that we can succeed in our spiritual practice. In our spiritual cultivation, we must make use of the worldly matter we encounter to train our body and mind. Only by going among people can we witness all the matters of the world. The Buddha Dharma is inseparable from the working of the world. This is very true. We can only realize the truth of the Buddha Dharma through experiencing worldly matter. So in the Tzu-Chi school, we must go among people. Infinite Dhamma Dao appear in this world. On the surface, it seems like we are working to benefit other people. But on a deeper level, the people and matter we encounter are also helping us to cultivate our own body and mind. When we resolve to walk the Bodhisattva path and give rise to great loving kindness and great compassion, we will come to understand that all principles are included in the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. This is very true. Right? Because walking the Bodhisattva path will enable us to give rise to great loving kindness and great compassion. Then when you have great loving kindness and great compassion, and when you do this work, you will come to understand all the principles that are shared in the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. The chapter on virtue gives us guidance for internal cultivation and external practice in order to perfect our virtue. This is very true. Where this refers to virtue of great beings, not ordinary beings. The chapter on expounding the Dhamma motivates us to unceasingly spread the Dhamma as we advance in our spiritual cultivation. Expounding pure Dhamma with a clear and awakened mind is how we benefit ourselves while expounding the Dhamma to sentient beings is how we benefit others. Finally, the chapter on the 10 merits describes the merits we attain through spiritual cultivation. So all the three chapters of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing, they are very beautiful and very complete and needed for all walking the path of the Bodhisattvas. I hope that everyone can engage in spiritual practice with great loving kindness, great compassion, and infinite meaning, and at the same time be as tranquil and clear as crystal. This means to have mind that are completely undefiled. Furthermore, we must remain unwavering and give rise to sincere intent or intention. Let us always express respect and gratitude to each other and firmly sustain our spiritual aspiration. I often say we work together while remaining clear and pure like a crystal sphere. The forest of Bodhi trees flourishes from the same root. Volunteers harmoniously cultivate the field of blessings and deeply plant the roots of wisdom on the Bodhisattva path. In order to unlock our wisdom and apply it as we devote ourselves to this road through the world, we must all form aspiration and make great vows together. Although we will face countless sentient beings with endless afflictions, our mind should remain as clear and tranquil as crystal. Our heart should be filled with great loving kindness and compassion, and we must diligently practice in this spiritual training ground of infinite meaning. Our selfless great love and care for sentient beings should remain unwavering every day, and we should always give rise to sincere intention to help all sentient beings in the world with determination form of great loving kindness and compassion. We give unconditionally without regard to religion, ethnicity, or nationality, and without any desire for gain or recognition. We witness the truth of suffering that the Buddha taught, and from this, we further understand and experience all of the principles of life. We vow to universally spread the teachings of infinite meaning throughout this world that we live on or in, that is the Sangha world. In this way, everybody will have the opportunity to develop wisdom. We all have the same intrinsic nature as the Buddha. We all have this pure wisdom. But because we have been blind by layers of ignorance, we cannot see our path in life clearly. If we can contemplate in a state of stillness and tranquility and return to our pure intrinsic nature, we can manifest our intrinsic wisdom, which like a great perfect mirror, clearly reflect everything in the world. Then won't every principle in the universe manifest before us? From this shortened version of the teaching, the adapted verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meanings, we can deeply penetrate the principle of the entire sutta and more deeply comprehend the spirits of the Lotus Sutta. We sometimes talk about how a single thought can reach anywhere in the universe. This means that if the mirror wisdom of our mind is perfect and unobstructed, in a single thought, we can clearly penetrate the principle of all realms of the universe. By grasping one truth, we comprehend all truth. As long as we are mindful, aware, we can comprehend the teachings of this sutta, the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. Yeah, no more. Oh, end already, yeah? Finish, yeah? Okay. There are some notes there. Oh, never mind. You go back and read yourself. Huh? There are some notes there. I think quite a number of them. 61. Okay, good. So exactly almost 9:40, yeah? So we can end this Sutra of Infinite Meaning. So the next one will be the Lotus Sutta, Miao Fa Lin Hua Zhik. Now that one is very long, a lot of chapters. That one we are lucky, we are Chin Hao last time managed to get the, I think Master Xuan Hua's digital copy. I think he downloaded into the Maikayamita about 1 year ago. So we may have to get it from Jin Hao or dig it out. Yeah? So that our next sharing, we can use it next week. Yeah? Okay. So we will now open up for meditation reporting. Yeah.
Good evening, Brother Teo.
Yes.
Yeah. 我想分享一下我的meditation recording.
可以啊, 发掉。
在星期二的早上, okay, 当我起来的时候, 我起来的时候就我有一个习惯, 就是摸一下我的电话, 看多少点嘛。 所以我就看, 603, 然后我就,
okay,
我又回去又躺着, meditate. Then after that, 他就, 很, 那个呼吸就慢慢越来就越, slow.
Yeah, slow and subtle.
Then after that, 然后就那个想想那个 movement of 那个 heart 那边呢？
啊，对，
就越来越好像 undercurrent 这样，越来越小，越来越慢，
对，
等越来越慢，
啊、
然后 after that， after that 我就没有那个movement 了，
啊，
但 after that,
对，
嗯。这天我就觉得我进入一个很深的一个 silence， 这样很
对对，
很 deep 啊，很 deep 的 silence，
对，
跟平时的是不一样的
啊，不一样的，不一样的，
啊，很 deep。Then after that， after that 一下子，然后我出来哦，不然就竟然6:50哦，
哇，
感觉是一下子罢了，
对对，读一如好像一阵子罢了，把已经在里面 almost。40 minutes or 40 minutes already。嗯，它是一个境界 or 一个 stage where you go in and realize this very very deep state of what we call silent or when the mind has become so refined, quiet and still.That's why after you realize the awareness nature, that is just the beginning. Then there are many, many, layers within where you can continue to go in. Like what you went through is very good. Initially at the heart area, the pounding starting time, like last time, the first time people realized that it's like very loud, it's pounding.Then as you continue to relax and silent, it will slow down, slow down. Then as you stabilize it over a long period of cultivation, then off and on, you will be able to like reach the state where you and some of the kaya metta manage to go in. Very fast, the mind settle down and the heart area or the vibration, everything become very quiet.Very faint, very slow, like very still, and very quiet. And finally, there is no more. It's like you can't feel anything, like no more heartbeat, nothing. But actually, there is still, but it's very fine. It's beyond your ability at that time to perceive it. Then the mind will go into another phase, which you described just now. It's like,very very deep silence, very very deep stillness. So this is the realization of the more refined aspect of the nature. And when this one goes in, sometimes it's like completely blank, nothing inside there. Then after you come out, to you it's like maybe 5-10 minutesBut sometimes you'll be very surprised, like your case is about 40 to 45 minutes. There was one incident I remember. I went in. When I came out, it's already 3-4 hours. To me, it's maximum half an hour. Where it's just like a short meditation. But when you come out, it's like they call it what they call that state.Where time doesn't exist. It's like the timeless. Because there is nothing, no activity, nothing. Then more important thing is sometimes it can go into the cessation. But you have to continue to allow it to be more and more quiet and more refined. That's why I say the awareness nature, you must have the ability like what you went through is very good.To allow it to settle down and become very quiet and very still, and let the stillness continue to go. Then after this, you will be able to experience a lot more other things which are deeper and more exciting. Then after that, when you come out, if you are mindful and aware, then you will know more apart from like you check the clock.That is already 6:45. When you are aware that mind state doesn't come back to the conscious state so fast, it takes a while. It takes a while. Then you follow the awareness out. Then from there, you follow and continue to observe and see how that mundane mind come back, how the thinking mind come back to you, and how you arise. So all this are part and parcel of the cultivation and the practice that you can go through. Yeah. 然后出来的时候，你有 observe 到什么吗？
出来的时候，他就是他自己慢慢这样出来。我 ，I mean，
你 straight away 就看时间了哈？
没有，我出来我就，then 我就 aware 到，then after that 我就看一下几点我要去做我的普加了。
对对对，你的普加你要 routine 的，religious routine。Okay， that is good。因为这是第一次 ，I think you went into this state 啊。It's actually 40 or 45 minutes. It's not that long. It's okay. So 下次 if it happened again, let it go in for longer period also. Never mind. You can delay or whatever puja or religious routine. You just let it happen. Then sometimes the mind want to meditate. Let the mind meditate. Then after that, only do your normal religious routine. And then you will be able to experience more. Because in this particular case, maybe because of your routine that you have set, your mind is like already that routine set. That's why it let you come out at a time where you need to go and do your puja. And all those things, which is already a very good progress as far as meditation is concerned. For the mind to go into such state is not easy. Very few cultivators can actually go into that and realize that. So, salute to you, Alicia. 还有什么吗？
不然就我发觉到最近就是好像比如说那天我家外面在砍草啦，很吵很吵，我在家里里面吼，我就可以做我的普加来 I stay with my heart， you know，
对，
做我的普加，做我整个
那个 mind is very still， 不摇动的，and you can continue to do your thing one。就好像 meditation 的时候，你 silent when you are with your nature, the awareness there, it will continue to stay there, and you can just do or doing what you want to do. Then in the midst of life, we can still maintain our awareness, means specific phenomenal awareness, despite what happened to the world. Sometimes no matter how chaotic the world is, that's why they used to express this in very beautiful saying, in the midst of activity, there can be stillness. Then in the midst of, they call, there's another type. Activity one is, there can be, oh sorry, in the midst of activity, there can be silent, means while the outside world means in existence, a lot of activity, but inside your heart, there is silence, there is no movement at all. Then the other one is, in the midst of sound and vibration, there can be stillness. So all these are possible. Then, like you said, you experience your internal, which is your true mind, your silent mind, your awareness. Your awareness can be vivid. Then it does not subject itself to any external disturbance. This external condition has got no power over your internal activity or your internal nature, the awareness nature. And that is what they call peaceful living. clarity. The mind is very stable. It's very, what we call, established. With not only there is samadhi, there is also tranquility, stillness. And at the same time, that mind has upeka, equanimity, means wisdom behind. That's why all this become possible, and you will start to experience more and more of such happening. So sometimes, out of your life, out of your house, when you are going to your office or when you are in the midst of doing your daily activity or chaos, you can also experience that. That sometimes for no reason, suddenly your nature inside there completely empty. There is no sense of even your existence, nothing. Then you know that is what anatta nature is. With the egoic mind completely disappear, and that awareness is so stable. The gap between the egoic mind or the mundane mind and the nature has been like taken down. That's why sometimes I stay there, then my nature like have that understanding completely without anything. That thing is completely without anything. Although the awareness and the what they call the knowing part, they are still there, established very close. But in that state, my nature know completely there is he no you, he no me, no egoic mind, nothing, completely. That nature itself is completely empty. So all this can happen. Then when you move, when you act, when you establish yourself in life, that nature move. That nature create its own movement and understanding. That one is the most beautiful. If you can experience all those, then you will know what this so-called Dhamma is all about. The unconditioned and the conditioned. The two are different. But with the understanding of the unconditioned connected to the form and mind, the human being, life can become beautiful, wonderful. That's a wondrous existence. Whereas the understanding is the emptiness understanding, the true spiritual understanding of the unconditioned. That's why just now in the Sutra of Infinite Meaning is mentioned, realizing true emptiness can lead to wondrous existence. So these are the shift that the form and mind can experience after you have developed the meditative understanding and the awakening and the ability to go into this deep layer of mind to experience that nature. That nature got many, many layers and many, many, I should say, very tranquil, very still manifestation. Of course, finally, is the oneness nature, Nibbana and all those things. But as you go through your cultivation, you will experience them all. So all this can be very beautiful. 很好啊. So, 这是第一次还是已经 happened 过几次了? The external doesn't affect you.
因为我最近才发觉到 诶,怎么这样子的, you know,
讲不懂事就是
like,
yeah, yeah, 他是给你了解, yes, let you understand that this is possible, which is very beautiful. So, sadhu to you, Alicia, 很好啊.
Sadhu, brother Joe, actually, 我觉得, 哇,这样 amazing的.
Yeah, that's why that that Dhamma that you realize, that meditative experience that the cultivator realize is very amazing. 真的很奥妙, very, very amazing. Sometimes you can't even talk about it or describe it because people won't believe, won't understand. What is all this? They may think we already up there, not right already, cuckoo already. So how can you experience such mind state, such ability? But the normal human beings, to have a moment of peace is so difficult to them. To not think is like very, very impossible. Completely like impossible to them. Because I have one classmate, I remember he told me. He was my engineering classmate, Sivan. He said, how can you don't think, is it? I said, you try. Don't think, silent everything. He tried, you know, many times, you know, cannot. He said, crazy, he said. Beg or don't think one. Cannot stop one this thinking, is it? You don't want to think also is there. Oh, he become like that now. Well, he has problem with life. He has this panic attack. And he has this phobia. And also, of course, depression and all this thing. So all this are the condition of mundane mind or putujana who doesn't understand life and don't have the dhamma. So they are in constant heedless mode of thinking, fear, worry, anxiety, and very tense up. Like a lot of things to worry about, to attend to. And throughout the day, like not enough time, very tired. Whereas as spiritual cultivator, practitioner for us, these are so common, so easy. Tranquility, stillness, calmness, all this special mind state. We experience them very often. And they cannot understand. That's why heedful living and heedless living is world apart. The mind of the enlightened being, cultivator of the way, is so different from the normal human being who has yet to train the mind to develop the Dhamma understanding and the cultivation. Completely world apart. They can't even have one moment of stillness or calmness or peace within space, within thought. Doesn't exist to them. They can't even stop the thinking. They have to depend on drugs. They have to take tranquilizer and all this thing. So it's so different. So as Kalimitas, who has the understanding and the ability to meditate and to develop all this understanding, we should actually thank our good karma, rejoice with a good past that enable us to have such causes and conditions to receive all this teaching and understanding and able to experience them while we are going through life. And this is really beautiful. That's a 很奥妙. I agree with you, Alicia. Sadhu.
我第一次接触佛法就遇到 Brother Dio
是咯 That's why 你算英语很好 因为你前世英嘛 因为 it just like they say 一进去就 strike the right one 就好像 没有理由会中标的 一丢下去 那个大就准准 strike So that one very rare because that is also in the past your life is such you never mislead people. When I say this means in the cultivation sense means you meet the right one very fast. Then once you meet the right one, you establish the understanding. Then when you share, you teach, you also teach the right thing. That's why you don't have that coming possibility to go wrong first. Whereas a lot of other people, even including Brother Song, their past life, they promote certain type of meditative training and teaching without understanding become gullible, then this night they come, they also went through all those things. That's why whatever you do, you reap what you sow when you come, because you cause people to deviate, become gullible. You also go that way for a while. Then finally, when your causes and conditions come back, you will find your way back. For you, it's very unique. You go through depression. Then with that, straight away, like jackpot, straight away, you strike the red dot. You should thank Vincent and the wife for actually helping you to bring you to see me. They came and talked to me many months before you come. I say, if you are willing, then it's okay, no problem, let her come. But provided she wants to come. Oh, then I remember after that, for 3 months, I didn't hear from them. Then suddenly one day, Vincent called me and let me know, but this Tuesday, she's coming with her husband. That time, I don't know who are you. Then Freddie and you came. But the moment you enter my house door, I can sense your fear, your depression, your negativity, your affliction, all that, very strong. You always look at the floor, you dare not look up. There is like no light inside you at all at that time, because full of affliction, suffering, because you have been in depression for so many years at that time. But that night, very strange, you know, it's like you have all the conditions. My nature, like Neil, straight away I talk about the four number two. You know, I focus on the first and second number two. Then in between the sharing, I saw you, without you knowing it, you smiled. Like, first time you have joy in your heart for a while, like you can see the light at the end of the tunnel, because for so long nobody can tell you what you went through. Then suddenly in my sharing, the first number two reality, everything that I mentioned there, you experience them, you can relate to them. And when I say the cause of suffering is craving, attachment, when you want things your way, which is not nature's way, and that constitutes selfishness. That constitute emotion, anger, hatred, delusion, all this. Then I went on to the third number two. Suffering need not be. Suffering can end. But you need to have the Dhamma. You need to cultivate. So this delusion, wrong view, craving, which is an attachment, can be severe, can be rooted out, can be reversed. So when you don't want things your way, you don't hold on to things, you won't grasp on to things. When you have the understanding that all this is caused by Sakkaya Ditti, the ego itself, then all this lead to the three evil roots, the roots of all evil that make a person evil, lead to coming downfall. Then when the understanding comes, you can reverse all this. You can root out the evil roots. That's why you cultivate the three wholesome root, means non-greed, non-selfishness, non-delusion, non-emotional. You develop right view, right understanding to reverse all this. So after that sharing, I remember, you start to like develop the interest to come. Then you also have affinity with Kuan Yin and some of the great beings, I think. Because of that, very fast, you understand. And then you chase after Sui An for the talk. That was the turning point. That time you were very, very diligent. That's why all these things become possible. Then you start to recover, over a short period of time, a few months, and then you start to recover. Then you start to develop the understanding and the joy, then you turn your life around. Means you are able to connect back to your wholesome karmic inheritance from the past. So this life you have to go through all this, because these are your karmic debt and also your karmic what they call obstruction that you have to go through. You have to experience. That's why it took you 16 years. Not easy. But luckily your DNA was good. Otherwise, no need 16 years. Even 3, 4 years, 4, 5 years, they say. The stress and the mental. Most people cannot take it. They develop cancer and all this. And what your DNA will do. That's why you were able to go through all this. And yet, nothing really bad happened. Except for your ulcer and your gastric and all those things. Then later on, all this starts to clear. Then even the psychiatric, the medication that they give you, or you start to have the ability to initially reduce them, then finally completely off. You don't need them anymore. Well, it's a mental thing. It's the understanding that frees you. Not all the tranquilizing medication, the drugs and all those things. So this is a very beautiful example of how Dhamma can really heal a person who is in depression, who has affliction, to awaken, to develop the understanding of Dhamma practice, cultivation and life. And people can see, for your case, really true, very wonderful. Well, after that, your friend from Philippines, Macau, and even your husband, husband's siblings, or your family side also, they can see. Your friends, your classmates, they can see you change. Even Elsie's sister can see, you remember? You told me. Oh, so beautiful. Oh, you become suddenly from that depressive, sad and miserable state, become so cheerful, so happy, so joyful. And your character, personality completely changed for the better. And you were able to actually gain back your life and become so useful. Like you said, you not only can help Freddy in the business and all those things, you can also look after their traveling, their whatever trip overseas. And last time you never thought you can organize them, but you came to realize, after you develop the meditative training, the understanding, the mindfulness and others, you can become so mindful and aware, and you become so efficient, you can organize all these trips. And you were very surprised how you can do all those things. And these trips are not a normal trip. It's normally about your family members, of course, and your husband's side. I think, like our Hokkaido trip, remember, which you organized also, you invited me and my wife to join you. Those type of trips are not easy to organize. It's almost about 10 to 14 days, remember. Then everything, all the itinerary, you plan yourself. And we fly there ourselves. And you do the internet booking, everything. The hotel, everything. We don't go to agent. That is the amazing part. And you have so much joy. And every time you organize those trips, you say, you were able to do it so well. That's why they trusted you. And every time you organize, they are happy to come. So all this become possible. It's because of your Dhamma, the transformation that happened. And so far, your case is the most phenomenal and amazing case of all the many that I have helped. And actually develop the understanding to transform their life. You are one of the very few that continue to develop this understanding. Well, there are quite a number, after they recover, they forget about the Dhamma. They go back to their old. Then like recently there was one, it hit back. I think second time already. Then this time I reminded him, I say, you better remember after this, you better continue with the Dhamma way. Don't go back to the old materialistic, heedless way. Otherwise, this thing will continue to haunt them. It will not go off. So all these are very beautiful and amazing sharing and experience. For your case, it's really something so amazing and wonderful. Okay, Alicia, sadhu to you. Huh?
Yeah, sadhu to you. Actually, 把这个药拿掉是一件非常难的事。
Yeah, 不容易的。
真的，真的。我真的是很感恩呐、啊。如果没有这个佛法，我
做不到。
我敢想象我的人生怎么样。
对，对。很多啊，那些 patient 啊 ，they try to stop the medication 啊，给那个医生骂到啊，哎呦，那个 recurring one 啊 ，recently 啊，他 ，I think finally Dr. Yanta 也帮他啦 ，then Dr. Yanta 也跟他讲啊，他们这种状况你要很 careful because it costs them a lot of it's like a drug.And make them actually dependent and become like very miserable. Like you don't take, you like want to die. So miserable is it. Cannot sleep and all those things and so stressed out. Then finally, he came to understand. Then with my advice and Dr. Yanta's advice,He slowly tried to do away, but initially he didn't know how to do because his mind was not stable yet, not strong. Then after he tried to stop the medication drug, don't know what happened. I think there was fear again. Then it triggered off and make him worse. Then he went back to the doctor and told the doctor. Then the doctor asked him, what happened? Then ask him, did you take the medication? He went tell the doctor, he tried not to take. Kena blasted by the doctor, like left and right for nothing. He said, this one you must take for life. How can you don't take? But now he's okay. He recovered. Yes, finally, after the whole radiotherapy, chemotherapy over, and Dr. Janta also helped him to make sure to complement the treatment.Then with my advice on the Dhamma side, he recovered. And now he is very different way. So I say, you take your time slowly, the medication slowly. You're stable already. When you understand already, then only you slowly reduce your medication dosage. And finally, when you are ready, you can just give it up. Not a problem. I say many people have done it.Even Gumo, he also can do it. I say, why can't you? And of course, I told him about Alicia too. I say, Alicia, 16 years old can come out. Yours is nothing, only 5 years. So all these are possible. That's why the Dhamma really can benefit a lot of people and create a lot of wonderful, amazing, changing life experience.Yeah, very good, Sadhu.
Super, Bradio, 我有一个别人，我只是几个月前的啦，我只是要跟 Bradio 讲一下罢了。
可以。
有一天，我的家，我每天都听到那个苏绕的念经的。
对。
Okay, 有一天我起来，我 on the way 我走去厕所的时候，我只是听到那个苏绕的声音是一个 vibration 罢了。
对，
我 perceive 不到他的那个字啊，就是说，
对，
听不出来，就是听不出来，
对，不用听啊，那个 vibration itself 就可以了，你 let the vibration go in， 那你会了解很多东西的，a lot of things is not about the meaning of the chanting or what， is the vibration， that need to go in. That is also like your experience. Because when you can go through that type of experience, means your mind is different now. Your mind is completely not the same as the normal people's mundane mind. It's the cultivator's mind that have the ability to be aware of this vibration or the chanting, the so-called more chanting that come in, even as you walk to your toilet or washroom, you can actually be aware. Then you know it's different now. Like you mentioned, the words are not there, but just that thing. Yeah. And all these are possible transformation that will happen to a cultivator. Mm. 很好啊,
其实我这些 experience or unknowingly,
他自己会先出来的。That's why 很 amazing 的。
It was like, 这样奇怪, like Brent 就以前讲, 什么, see from your heart and then everything.
Correct. Listen from your heart.
Feel
from your heart. Everything is from your heart. 你可以 go to that stage already. It's no more from your brain already. That's why it's a different type of cultivation. That's why to do this, your nature there, you must be able to stabilize it until very stable. Then you can do everything from the heart. Hearing, seeing, smell, taste, everything from the heart. Your nature is always there. Then when the lightning strike, you can be aware there. Of course, I always use the word to stay there, but actually no sound. Your awareness is there at the heart. At the heart is this aware. But this is where your nature is. When you are there, you don't think. It's just aware. Of course, after that, the memory will try to perceive and think and give meaning. But if you have the Dhamma, the wisdom, Yonisomana Sikara will surface. The Dhamma, the wisdom part, will surface. And it will prompt you. Sankara Anichang, Sankara Dukkang, Dhamma Anatta. Then everything, each year you wave off. 如梦幻泡影,如如一如电,应作如是观. So all this will surface. Then the understanding also will surface. Only mighty nature rolling by, he know you, he know me. The phenomenal world of existence, consciousness, come and go, come and go. He know you, he know me. No mark, nothing. So all this combination of Dhamma understanding will continue to support your wisdom. It will continue to unfold until you become very clear. That's why whatever happens, nothing can disturb you anymore. Where you know the form and mind is not you. This form and mind is karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for you to come. That one become very clear. Then you do not fear that. Anything can happen to this form and mind. Nothing will happen. That nature is that nature. The consciousness is the consciousness. No mark, nothing. So very clear. And the beauty of this understanding is, it's not from the thought. It's the understanding from that nature. And the nature is the unborn. The unborn is the undying. Because it was never born. That's why it's a deathless element. It's the oneness nature. And that nature, you cannot claim ownership. Because it's also anatta. It's non-self. It cannot come out and live life. But the being that has the understanding of it is wonderful, beautiful. But that is the ultimate oneness nature, the true nature, the original nature, where all living beings or humanity or living being share the same thing. So all this understanding will be there and it will become more and more stable, more and more beautiful. 很好啊, 沙丘, Alicia.
Sadhu Brajil. Brajil 我想讲讲的是就 continue 讲那个该无量疫情不是有提到
对
我们要很积极的去做。
是。
其实在我 experience 这个就是我买那块地，从我买那块地到我做，从一步一步这样子走来，其实我在是我的心在成长。
对，
因为只有通过这个
磨练，
磨练和忍耐啊，你才会把你的心越磨越强，越磨越强。就是我的 explanation 强的是，就是没有这样容易被打倒啦，就是。
对对对。就好像以前宣化上人讲了，他说越磨越光亮，光亮更要磨，磨到露出佛啊，现出本来佛，那个是最漂亮的。他说正道才有磨 ，It's something like if you cultivate the true Dhamma, initially the Mara will come and test you。他说正道才有磨。I forgot the whole saying. It's very beautifully worded. So that was about 1987, I remember. Oh, 40 over years ago. So he expressed it in a very beautiful manner. He said something like more you more. I forgot already. I cannot remember. When I remember, maybe I will share again. Too long. But the just now the end part is the same. 越磨越光亮，光亮更要磨。Then 现出本来佛 something like that. So a lot of things is like you experience and you go through with your patient, 忍耐跟磨练。Then like the Wu Liang Yi Jing Jiang, the step by step, the cultivation will progress and it will show the result. And the Dhamma will unfold, which is very true. For your case, it's the same. And after you bought that piece of land, because you're very sincere and you really want to do something for humanity, mankind, and nature. So that piece of land actually can do the work, can serve the purpose.And it's a beautiful piece.
Virtue, 是因为和一般的人不会去吃苦的。
对对对对，对对对。
因为我的 niece 跟我讲，如果我是你，我每一天去咖啡喝茶，我听你讲，他讲我。
他们要享受啊，
对，
他们不了解，
我都累
了，他们不了解修行吗？修行的境界不一样的，修行的境界真的不一样的，When you are in the cultivation phase, it's really different. There is so much joy and understanding, and nothing can compare. The worldly, mundane type oflike good life is actually nothing. But please don't get me wrong. If you have the means, you can afford it. Once a while, you want to pamper yourself to have a nice coffee, go. Nobody stop you. But that is your privilege. But don't get attached. Don't indulge. Don't get hooked into it. And every time wants to go that way. No. Cultivation.Is the main area of activity. That's why life itself is the Dhamma. Everything in life, there is Dhamma. So when you have that, then you can do anything in life. You can have the good life, no problem, because everything is Dhamma. You can go and have a nice coffee, a nice dinner, but you will know what to do.You will know how to really live it, experience it, and see the pristine beauty and wonders of everything that you experience. Yeah, these are the civilization that has the possibility, and when there is condition to have them, why not? But when you go through cultivation, that phase, you will become very different. You will not touch all those things. You will sacrifice. You don't even think about it because it cannot compare. But after you finish your cultivation, when you are in your third phase of Dhamma or Pativeda, then you can combine with that. Then you go back to life again, normal. Normalcy again. Kan san, yu su san. At that phase, you can have that complement, whatever you do. So at least you go to one. It's the second phase, cultivation phase. What they call beginning of actually third phase, beginning, means that I still move into cultivation and experiencing the friction of the hard work and all those things, and still continue to walk the way and develop the cultivation. So all these are possible and very beautiful. So very good sharing, Alicia.
Actually, compare 我的 mind state 跟以前哦，我发觉到以前很多的埋怨，很多的不，
对，
可是现在哦，他就很甘愿做，而很欢喜的受，
对，
哇，那个 joy 哦，哇，我讲哇，这么大的分别哦
，Yeah，without Dhamma 很多埋怨嘛 ，you complain a lot one without Dhamma， why must I do？ Why these people don't want to do？But with the Dhamma, you willingly do. You are very patient, very calm, and you do with joy and understanding. Then this is what Dhamma is all about. You sacrifice. When you sacrifice for humanity, for your children, for your family members, for the world, you feel joy. It's not really sacrifice. It's your perfection, your cultivation. Your ability to actually do all this. Sometimes, with this type of understanding, you can go very far where normal people cannot do. That's why when I was young, I naturally had that. I like to help people. And a lot of outside people know, they know this boy is different. I can just go and help my neighbors in my kampong or where I see people need help or what. I will go and help them saw their firewood and other things, chop their firewood and all that. I overdo it. Then sometimes when my mother wants to peel barrel things from the sawmill or what the sawdust, I will go and help. And I like to help. Then gotong royong, I like to be the first to be there. And we enjoy doing all this because this is what I actually inherited from my past. And I just do. That's why my household work, among all my 9 brothers and sisters, I'm the one who managed most of the household work. My father's shop, or I open the door, I close the door, I clean the furniture, everything. Then I help sell medicine and all that. I do a lot of things. Then even the bedroom that we share, eight of us, I think, share one small room with an elevated bedroom. Every day after they sleep, all the comforter, blanket or whatever, all haywire, nobody go and like put it back in order. I will go and fold them and put it that back in order. So there were many things that I will do. So, like, you realize one, that one is really Dhamma. Before you had the Dhamma, you complain a lot. Mayan. In English, it's one of Mayan. What is the English one? Complain. Yeah, complain is quite near, but the meaning is deeper. Like inside, very unhappy. You don't like to do it. But then, when you have the Dhamma, like you experience, you willingly do and do with joy and understanding and benefited from it. Sanda. Sadhu. Wow, very good sharing, Alicia.
Sadhu, brother, to you. 我要感恩 Brother Dio all this while 一步一步的 guide 我和所有的凯尔米达的分享。
嗯，
还有就是感恩金浩和所有的凯亚拉米达，总之我很感恩世上的万物啦，人事物我都很感恩，因为每一个就因为他们才能够把我训练成这样。
对
感恩大家，
感恩
本人节萨都阿弥陀佛，
Let us rejoice. 萨都，萨都，萨都。Oh, very good sharing today by Alicia.